Hey, Stephanie.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking we call tonight's episode Stockin' My RV. Like, get it? Like wasn't that Bret Michaels show called Rockin' My RV?
Well.
But we're doing like Stockin' My RV.
Right. So it's a joke.
Well, it's like a pun.
It's a play on a TV show.
It's like a play on words.
Okay. How many people know about Bret Michaels?
I watched that show.
You did.
I thought that show was kind of fun.
Right. Right. A lot of our listeners. You think?
I don't know. I'm kind of curious.
I don't know.
Hey, listeners, did you guys watch that Bret Michaels show? Was it Rock My RV or Stockin' My
RV?
But you remember the song? Rockin' My RV.
Oh, well, that's going to get
I'm thinking like we could even change the music and do like Stockin' My RV.
We're not recording new music for this episode. Well,
so what do you want to call this episode?
Well, I had the good, clean, clear RV season stock up.
RV season stock up.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, more.
That's what it's about.
It's more wholesome and helpful.
Helpful, exactly. Everybody will know what I'm talking about.
So who wins? That's the question.
Stay
who
tuned.
Gets the title of tonight's show? Stay tuned to find out.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking about stocking the RV for camping season. People across the country are getting their RVs ready for the spring, summer, and fall, and we want to talk about some items that you should buy now that will last you the whole season through.
And we are thrilled to welcome back our Western correspondent from the beautiful state of Utah, Brett Nielsen. This time he is telling us about a gorgeous state park that is a favorite for his family. Plus, we get to hear all about his off-the-grid RV adventures on the salt flats of Utah.
Who won the totally awesome Toast Tight Sandwich Grills? You will have to listen to find out.
All of this and so much more on episode 33 of RV Family Travel Atlas, RV Season Stock Up. Before we head into this week's featured topic, RV season stock up, we have some news we need to talk about and share, do we not?
Well, fun news.
Fun news.
Yeah.
America seems to be wildly in love with the Toastite grill.
Yeah.
Okay, because we are given what we gave away, three of them.
Right.
And America went wild
this week. Healthy competition.
Healthy competition on Instagram, on our contest hopper, on iTunes for people giving us reviews. People want these Toastite grills.
Well, why wouldn't you?
We have three lucky winners to announce, and the rest of you people are going to have to go out and buy one.
Yes, and you have to go to www.toastite.biz.
B-I-Z, because they're all about the biz over at Toastite. So our lucky winners from the contest hopper over on our website is Trey. Okay, and I think Trey entered on multiple platforms, which is allowed. We encourage multiple platform entries. So congratulations to Trey. And if you're out there and your name's Trey, it's probably you. I don't think
we'll
have
send emails,
that many listeners named Trey, but we'll send you an email. Also, on Instagram, our winner was Melissa.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Melissa Kay.
Melissa Kay, and she really wanted a Toastite grill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then for writing us an iTunes review, our winner was Denise.
Yeah.
So congratulations to all three of you. Now, it doesn't end here for you. Okay, we're going to send you the Toastite grill, or rather Jan – from Toastite is going to send you. And they know how to pack these things, by the way. Okay, nicely packed.
We got packages this week.
We got a few packages this week for giveaways for our rally later in the year.
Yeah, very excited.
But Jan will send you these. But we expect to know what you're cooking with them, what recipes are working, Toastite tips.
Yeah, and I would also say that from any of our listeners that end up going and getting one of these, if you make anything with the Toastite, please hashtag
RVFTA. And Toastite.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course. But
and we'll
definitely
share your pictures.
Hashtag us.
Now, we made some mean Reubens this week.
Daddy went
out and he got some turkey. He got some Swiss. He got some marble rye. He got some sauerkraut.
Mm-hmm.
And he got some pretty good Russian dressing. and we rocked out the Rubens like two nights in a row.
You saw a picture.
If you're looking on Instagram, you saw a picture.
No, you saw a picture.
Oh, I saw
a Reuben on like the Toastite website, and it got you like you were jonesing.
I needed to do a Reuben.
So you went to the grocery store.
On the first attempt, they came out really good. Now, we leaned towards 2 minutes aside.
Yeah.
We went beyond, I think, that minute and a half
recommendation. Mine on a little longer, and mine was better, a little crisper.
Yours was better.
Yeah.
Now, being that you didn't try mine, I'm wondering how aesthetically, it was better.
Yes.
It was better looking.
Yes, it had a little
the
more
only
of a
reason, no, the only reason she's saying hers is better is because I put too much turkey on mine, according to her. I overstocked my turkey Reuben.
You have issues with proportion. And in cooking, you always have.
I think mine was better. I made the man version.
All right.
Okay, you made the girl version.
All right.
Either way, you get to decide how much turkey you want on your own Reuben. Okay? Now we have another giveaway. And all of this is going back to that spring gear guide from a few episodes
back.
Episode
31.
Yeah, we lined up a bunch of giveaways. So we are giving away 2 nightstick dual lights with twin magnets. Okay? And we reviewed this on the spring gear guide.
Yeah.
And we also did a product review on YouTube. Okay.
Right.
So Stephanie and I we've started a YouTube channel, and we really hope to do about a product review a week, or at least something every week on YouTube. And you started with a review of the Camp Casual dish set. And then I did my review of the Nightstick Dual Light, and that's up on YouTube at RV Family Travel Atlas. You can check out the light. They're awesome flashlights. And by the way, it took me about 10 takes to make that 2-minute video.
You did. You had issues.
For a variety. Every time I forgot to say one thing.
Right.
And then every time it was a different thing that I forgot to say, and we just weren't going to edit it and patch it all together.
It wasn't worth it.
Now, Stephanie, on the other hand, likes to rock out the one take.
I do.
The one take wonder.
I get it done. I'm one of those kinds of people. It's like, get it done.
Yeah, I'm the prima donna on
this set. You're willing. You're like, you want to.
Well, I'm more like a method actor. Like, I don't want to rehearse. I want it to feel alive and real. I'm more like Brando.
Right, now, over that, let's talk about the YouTube channel for a second and just say, the reason why we did this is not because we have like amazing production studio quality videos.
We record them out in the RV.
Yeah, that's not what we're doing. We're not like amazing videographers. The thing is that we talk about the products. We write
we
about
the
products.
We want you to see the products.
But then when push comes to shove, we know a lot of people want to see what
and
we're saying.
Because we're talking about spending money here.
Yeah.
You're talking about like recommending things people are going to have to spend $30, $40, $50 on. It's really nice to see the product.
So we thought, you know what? Let's do a little bit of a wraparound we write about it. We talk about it. Let's just show people exactly what we're talking about in these very short little ways.
Yeah, so head over to YouTube and subscribe. And so this week's giveaway are these Nightstick dual lights. We love these flashlights. Mm-hmm. Okay. We've bought some for friends. I keep one in the house, one in the garage, one in my truck, and one in the RV. I own like 4 of them now. So check those out. And how are we going to give these 2 away?
Okay, so same thing as last week with a little tweak, okay? You are going to go to the contest hopper.
On our website.
On our website, rvfamilytravelatlas.com, and you can enter through the contest hopper. For many of our listeners, you've done that quite a few times
now.
You
can do it again.
So do it again.
We're not selling your email address.
No.
We joked before. We don't know how.
No. And we never will figure that out either.
So you just get our newsletter. You're just signing up to get our newsletter.
So you'll be in the contest that way. Or you can go to iTunes.
You can go to iTunes.
Yes.
Drop us a review.
You have a better chance of winning that contest.
Because fewer people.
Because fewer people enter.
Are going to do it that way.
However, that's okay, because we understand that it takes a little more effort, because you have to go through, you have to open your iTunes, you have to go to like the ratings
and then you have
and
to string
tab.
Together words.
Oh my gosh, and you have to write
and
sentences
you have
about
to put
us.
Sentences together. Okay, which, hey, it's America in 2015. I mean, sentences, they're long.
Yeah, I don't care. You know what? Just write in a little emoticon. Can you just do that? Can you leave a couple emoticons? That's all right with me.
Leave 5 stars and grunt.
Like the woman who does the little hula.
Yeah, we accept emojis.
Yeah, that's fine.
Now, but here's the thing that we need to explain to our listeners, and I don't want to belabor the point.
Okay.
So we did receive some really nice iTunes reviews this week. I think we received 6 of them or something like that. And our podcast shot up in the iTunes rankings. Like, I just cannot explain enough how much those reviews matter. So we moved up much, much higher. And you're constantly shifting around your ranking in the iTunes store based on if people are listening and if you're getting reviews. So we shot up this week and we had some really heavy traffic a couple days in a row. We had some awesome midweek traffic because new people were discovering the podcast because it was becoming more visible. Yeah. So if you've been listening to the show for a long time, if you've been with us since episode one or since the beginning, which was only 6 or 7 months ago, we would really ask you to head over to iTunes and write a review for us. It means the world to us and it really helps us gain some exposure. Okay, so more news. We've got apparel. We've got apparel. Well, and our intention here is to take over and dominate the RV apparel industry. In fact, we're going to create the RV apparel industry. We had a great logo, a couple different versions of a gorgeous logo made by an artist named Matt Brass. Mm-hmm. We want to share that with you.
Yeah.
Okay. So we put together some t-shirts, some hoodies, some long sleeve shirts. Stephanie, tell everyone where you can buy them. And how this is all going to work, because we're doing it a little bit different.
We are. And it's just because we don't obviously, we're busy. We're doing all this content. We're doing travel. We do not want to be managing like boxes of t-shirts. That's not our goal.
Yeah, you'd buy them and you'd never get them. We need somebody to send these out for us.
Yeah, so we were looking for a good option to just get that logo out there a little bit because we think we love like the big RV in the middle and the sort of
the
grill look to it almost.
Yeah, and it's not like a logo with like our family name or like, hey, look at us. You know, so, it's more about the community.
Yeah. We really tried to make something that would be a little more universal. So teespring.com.
Is that T-E-E?
T-E-E. Spring.
Like winter, spring, summer, and fall.
Yes.
Okay. Dot Teespring.
Teespring.com/RV Family Travel Atlas. Our name right after it. That's our like storefront there. Now, we made a campaign, okay? And it's 2 weeks long. Just 2 weeks. You have a short 2 weeks to go in and to order your apparel, okay?
So the pressure's on.
Yeah. So there is a men's t-shirt.
And the highest quality.
Yes.
They have a variety of
canvas,
options.
Yeah,
you went above the Hanes heavy
premium.
Duty.
Premium. Yes, I did.
So this is a premium t-shirt.
Right.
This is not a cheesy t-shirt that's going
to
shrink up.
Big deal to you. You hate that.
I hate buying cheap t-shirts that shrink.
Yeah. So we did a premium men's t-shirt and a premium hooded sweatshirt. Then we also did a long sleeved t-shirt and a woman's t-shirt and a woman's tank. Now, I'm getting the tank. I want the tank. If you're a woman, you go and look at it. It's got that flowy look to it. You have no idea. You're looking all confused.
No, I saw all the products.
They know. Women know out there.
I was picturing,
that style
I wasn't
right
confused.
Now
I was picturing
that isn't
you,
the fitted tank.
I was picturing you in it.
Okay, let's move on. So it's like kind of like the tank that falls away a little bit. So I think that it's going to be a really nice shirt and a good like hiking shirt around the campground.
Good
shirt.
Summer shirt.
Yeah.
So there's a wide variety of options.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Stephanie, serious. At May 14th.
The
13th.
Okay.
This expires.
It expires.
Right?
It's done.
Because they're going to put together the order and ship them out.
And they ship it out on May 13th. And the reason why we picked that date, it was 2 weeks out and then everybody will get it in time for the
rally.
We
hope and pray everyone will get it in time
for
our rally.
Yeah, well, you're supposed to. They say you
will. End of May.
Mm-hmm.
And look, these t-shirts are not just for the rally. They don't say anything about the rally on them. They're just RVFTA t-shirts. So they're really great looking shirts. Check them out.
But if you show up at a rally without a t-shirt, look, we'll still let you
in. Talk to
but
you.
We'll be like,
I mean, you
hey,
know, we'll talk to you.
Did you get a t-shirt?
But the people wearing the t-shirts, we'll talk to them more.
Maybe they'll have a better chance of winning some of the contests.
You want to be an official part of the nerd herd, you need the t-shirt, okay? And the prices range from, say, 20 to whatever,
20,
40 for the hoodie or something.
20 short sleeve, 25 long sleeve, 40 hoodie.
Okay.
And that's just economics.
Okay, so join this campaign here and go and buy some RV Family Travel Atlas apparel.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
And we have another exciting announcement.
Okay.
Okay. So we published our first ebook this week, and we hope it's the first in a long, long series of adventure guides to our favorite destinations. So this week we published our RV Family Travel Atlas Adventure Guide to Acadia National Park, which is, you know, perhaps our all-time favorite RV destination. We put together all of our recommendations for food, all of our recommendations for hiking, all of our recommendations for family fun, best places to camp, mm-hmm. plus all of the stories that we've written over the years yeah. about Acadia. And I reading through this and kind of doing the editing this week, I really loved reading it myself. Yeah. Of course, I'm biased.
Wow, I loved our stuff. No, here's the thing is that blogs are unwieldy. They can be difficult. Like
stuff all over the place.
People, we know we have very loyal listeners and readers that when they're going to a place, yeah, you might have written about it over the course of years or whatever. And it can be tough to constantly reference all the information that we have there. And we have years of content.
Well, and some's from
blog.
1 year ago, some's from three Absolutely. Years ago, some's from before that.
So it's really helpful to get it kind of chunked together. And that's what we're trying to do. Because now we have listeners and readers that are going
to Acadia. We have mm-hmm. a number of families who are saying, hey, we listened to your recommendations on Acadia. We're heading up there. It would be great for you to buy this book. And it's $3.99.
Okay. Yeah. And this is what I'm going to say about the price point, because I do want to say something about the price point. $3.99, okay, is the price of People Magazine.
It's the price of three donuts at Dunkin' Donuts. three donuts. To four donuts.
A latte at Starbucks.
Right.
Okay. Anything else?
I think
else
magazines
you
cost more than that now.
Well, I think people you can get for $4.
How much
That's
is a gallon of milk?
That. More than that.
A gallon of milk is more than this
milk
book.
I buy is more.
Yeah,
than
it's
this
about
book.
A 40-page right. ebook, and if you buy this and you head to Acadia, yeah. there's just a lot of great information in there.
So we made it into an ebook so that if you download it, right, if you even had the Kindle app on your phone or whatever, then if you go there, it's so easy. We broke it up into the different sections of like where to eat, where to hike, and it would be so easy to pull up those sections because the table of contents is hyperlinked. So you would just be like, oh, you're looking for a hike in the book. You could click on hikes and it'll go right to the section on
right.
hikes.
And we recommend other books to buy in the ebook as well. So it's
yeah,
it's a good
source.
It was
just made to be like actually a really handy family friendly source.
Yeah.
For
and
you
it's not meant
go.
To be a comprehensive Fodor's or Frommer's right. or Moon Guide that has every single thing no. listed. The point was, these are the things that we actually did
yeah.
and actually loved.
And we believe everything that we put in an adventure guide, we don't say that we did everything. But we do say that we really believe if you do these things,
but we
you'll
did
have
do everything in this Acadia book. Everything that was recommended
no, 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 no.
in this
I'm not
book,
saying
we did.
That, honey.
Yeah.
I'm saying we're not saying we did everything in Acadia.
Oh God, no. Yeah. Well, we did a lot after three trips. You know.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying that we are saying we didn't do everything there possibly is
sure.
to do on Acadia. But if you do the things that you did that we talk about in our book, we truly believe you'll
and
have I'll, a magical
and look,
vacation.
To compliment us for 1 second, like I think that we do find some of the off the beaten track things to do as well. Okay. So please check out that ebook. It's available wherever ebooks are sold. Now, we had a lot of great letters this week. We love reading these letters. They really make our week. We can't read all of them on the show, but we had one that we really, really enjoyed and thought we would read. So, Stephanie, you had a letter from Jason in Kentucky.
Yeah. And I, of course, this email stood out to me because of the first couple of lines, which highlighted one of the sort of, I would say now, it's like an inside joke for people that have been listening to our podcast from the early days, okay? Is it mentions, I think there's two inside jokes for people that have been listening to our podcast. One is our accents. People who have listened from early on heard the first episode where I read the very first "you have Jersey accent" comment
yeah.
that we
yeah.
got from somebody in Colorado. And we got a kick out of that. We're like, yeah, we know, you know, it's New Jersey. This is where we're born and raised. So ever since then, people like to mention it.
They like to rib us a little
bit. It's good
we're
fun.
We're thick skinned. We're Jersey.
Yeah,
okay?
We're okay
we're Jersey
with it.
Strong or whatever that says on those yeah. stickers.
All right. So, but then there's another one that gets us every time. And if you throw this into a review or a letter, it's almost like you're guaranteed to be read
right.
on the show. And people know that by now, right? So Jason writes, "I wanted to drop you to NPR quality broadcasters a line after hearing your segment on the challenge for a traveling family of five." Yes, Jason. The NPR comment, right? Like, what did Stephanie want to be when she was little?
Click
and dreaming?
Or clack?
Somebody on NPR.
Terry Gross.
I'm over it now. I don't need to be on NPR, but geez.
You're on RV Family Travel Atlas.
If it were to happen. If somebody from NPR calls me, I'm not going to say no. I'm just saying.
Imagine an RVing program on NPR.
Oh, sure.
Like, the contradictions are so ripe.
No, I know. People would be like sending angry mail. Like,
right, right.
You're wrecking the environment with those things. We'd have to like hide. But whatever. I would still say yes, and I deal with the angry comments.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, Jason said a lot more that was really great. He said, my wife and I started primitive camping in our late teens and did this heavily through our 20s until these little humans kept popping into our lives.
Funny how that happens.
No. We would pause, then slowly adapt our gear and schedules to adapt to tent camping with three wonderful girls. Perhaps it was the onset of the big 4-0, the lugging of 200 pounds of gear, or the 10-day Class A 4,200-mile trip we took out west. But we have been fully bitten by the RV bug. Researching and shopping on a quick timeline has been stressful, but I'm excited about getting this season started RV style. Trying to find a floor plan for an entry-level travel trailer for our size family with the handcuff of an existing tow vehicle being a V6 Explorer has been rough. Your advice and general outlook on RVing has been a breath of fresh, honest air that keeps me calm. Blazing through your past...
That's somebody's calm.
I know. Wow. Good job, Jason. Blazing through your past podcast this week has changed my outlook on many things and informed me greatly. Thank you and keep up the good work.
Yeah, and we went back and forth. I mean, I responded to Jason, and you responded to Jason. And in one of the other emails, he said, oh, the best advice you guys give to people who are making their first time purchase is to just constantly remind us that it's not going to be the last RV you buy, right? Everyone goes so crazy about whether they're making the right purchase that first time. And then most people turn around and sell those first RVs in a year anyway. So, you know, you can overthink it, people.
Yeah.
You know, and you can overthink it.
Right. And he's like,
he knows. The RV and get out there.
Right. He said, I have OCD, right? Didn't he say like I have
and I confess
OCD.
That I have OCD too.
And you were right there in the mix.
So the point is just don't stress out too much about what you're getting. Just get something, get out there. You're going to fall in love with the lifestyle and then you'll figure things out as you go.
And also I think it's important to note like, yeah, they loved primitive camping. And you know what? They can do that again if they want. But right now, if it works better for them to load up their three kids.
Oh, they won't go back to primitive camping.
No, but you know what? Maybe they'll wind up in an A-liner down the road.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Or
like
a pop-up
the
camper,
kids
sure.
are gone, whatever. Yeah. Maybe then you want to, you're not saying, oh, I'm never going to camp in a tent again.
Sure.
You're not saying that, but you're saying right now this is actually a little more fun for our family. So we're going to
We constantly remark on how many listeners we have who are contemplating their first purchase. Mm-hmm. And also the amount of stress that people seem to go through with that first RV purchase.
You
know,
it's a big deal. It's
a big deal.
Right.
Yeah.
It takes a long time for people to finally pull the trigger on it.
Right.
So, Jason, thank you for rating us, and we'd also love to hear.
He let us know
about
what
your
get
first, yes,
and where you camp. And didn't he say he wants to hear us feature his great state of Kentucky?
Yeah,
did
he
you
did.
Read that?
He said, "I have not heard many episodes, but I hope to hear about my unbridled Kentucky with 1 million acres of national parks."
We are dying to get to Kentucky. I work in Kentucky once a year in Louisville, and I would love to get the family there on an RV trip. I would love to take the boys to Mammoth Cave. Mm-hmm. It is a really beautiful state, beautiful part of our great country. So we will be back in a second with our featured topic, RV season stock up. So this week's featured topic is RV season stock up. And we just want to talk about all of the ways that we prepare the RV for a 40 to 50 night season. And in our home, you are not a hoarder. You are not someone who buys in bulk. You are not somebody who stocks up. But your philosophy for the RV is really quite different. You do like to buy things in twos and threes and fours and have everything for the next 6 months of RVing. So why do you approach things differently in the RV than in the house?
Well, it's taken me a while to make that change.
5 years.
Absolutely. And that's why we decided to have this as a featured topic, because maybe for some people to be like, well, of course we stock our RV at the beginning of the season. But I'm willing to bet there's a lot of people out there like me that for a while feel like, well, you know what? If I have an electric toothbrush in the house, right, I'll carry it out to the camper when I go on
vacation.
But
repeat that for 50 items.
And then what happens is I was a little bit of a stick in the mud about that. I don't stock up. I'm not a Costco person. If you go around my
house. That expired. That card expired.
We did used to go there a little bit, but like, I just am not that kind of person. I hate large amounts of anything. I really keep our...
Amounts of boys?
Yeah, I just do. I kind of like to keep things simple and pared down. And so my idea of that when we were RVing was that, well, if I have one of everything in the house, I really don't want to get...
Well, and we started with a pop-up camper where it really wasn't quite... I mean, it was possible, I guess,
not
but it was much
yeah.
more difficult to kind of have that one of everything stocked up in the RV.
Yeah.
So we, you know, kind of grew up as pop-up campers.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 3 years now in the travel trailer, we've evolved quite a bit.
And it's been like a slow and steady progress for me. And I feel like this year I finally owned
you
it
have like
for
a
the
system
first time.
Kind
yeah.
of.
Because every year it was like I would add things and I'd be like, wow, this lasted me the whole season.
And, so, and you went out and did that big shop this year. And I don't remember you doing
I
that last season.
Never
like you went
done
out and
before.
Did that like $200 shop
yes, I
of
did.
All kinds, you know, and just you stocked that RV.
Right.
Stock in my RV.
Upcut.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I lost that one.
Yeah. So, right. This is the first year that at the beginning of the season, I just sucked it up and I owned it that I spend enough time in my RV that my bathroom, my kitchen, certain things should mirror what's in the house in reasonable quantities so that I can buy it once and not replace it all season. And that's what this show is about. This show isn't about things to keep in the camper.
Yeah, for you, it might be a different list than for us. It's just kind of more like, what do we keep in there? But I have to say, you did that big shop, that $200, $250 shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so grateful you did it because I feel like you saved us from taking 20 trips to like Target or the grocery store over the course of the summer. Cause when we first started RVing and even really up to last season, I felt like we were constantly replenishing and doing these little runs to the store for, you know, toilet paper or or whatever it may be. So I'm glad you did it this way.
Well, so this year what I did was I thought, what are the things that I could probably get one time and in what quantity? At the very beginning, our very first camping trip, and it would last us, right? Fingers crossed, we'll update you. It would last us all the way through.
I think you're good at guesstimating.
And it will last us all the way through our fall travels, okay? So I thought that in my head, and I actually sat down and I made a list. And I would have made this list before every one of our long trips, you know, throughout the season. So this way, it kind of helped me make one list. And basically, this episode, we're going through that list. And we're talking not about the things that you need in your RV. Look, you
not,
need...
Not things that we keep permanently year-round.
No.
Replenishables, things that need to be...
Right.
That are used, disposed of, and then you need more of.
All right. So the goal of this list is to give you things that you could shop for. You could do one. If you do Target, you go with Target. You go with your red card. You get the 5% off, right? You go, you do your
to
one shop.
To the big shop or row.
Yeah. You stock that RV. Go ahead, honey.
Stock Well, I actually know. Seriously, I want our listeners to write in if you watched that Brett Michaels show. And I'm sorry, I liked it. You can make fun of me.
Oh,
I don't care.
If you also
liked it, please write in and let me know.
You want validation.
Because Stephanie thinks no one watched it but me.
I don't think so. All right. So that's what this is about. So let's get going.
Let's start
talk
with paper products.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Paper products and a confession.
Yes.
So go for it.
Okay. I am quite eco-friendly. In fact,
on a scale of 1 to 10,
where am I? What would you put me?
I would give you a solid 8.
8.
Do you feel comfortable with that?
Mm-hmm,
you don't feel insulted by that?
No, I'm an 8 because I did cloth diapers, but I also did disposable. Like
we had twins, people. Okay, cloth diapers with twins.
We did it. Yeah,
just
but we
poop
also did
everywhere.
Oh, stop. Okay, so I have my friends honestly make fun of me because they know there's not a paper towel to be had in my house. And that's always a topic.
That drives me crazy.
It does. I don't believe in paper towels.
I'm like, honey, the boy spilled something. Give me some paper towels. You're
no,
like, I've never bought paper towels.
Right. I use rags. I use cloth napkins. People are so funny. Like,
and when she says she uses rags, like you've had the same rag pile since we've been married.
Of course, because they're rags.
They're
Why
rags.
Not?
They last.
Yeah. No, that's so. I am actually quite eco-friendly in
a
lot of ways.
I'll give you an 8.
Cleaning products, I use like vinegar and water, whatever. Okay.
7th generation here.
Yeah. If I buy something.
7th generation there.
Okay. All right. So all of that is not to like brag I'm so eco-friendly. All that to say is some of me feels like I save up my carbon credits. for camping.
For the RV trips.
And I know that sounds crazy, but I'm like, I'm traveling with three kids. I need to indulge in some luxuries.
Having the sink piled with dirty dishes every night, I'm sorry, it would put a damper on the trip.
It's
and
a lot
and we're
for
willing
us.
To take flack on this from anyone out there who's like, we can't believe you use paper plates and paper, you know, napkins and cups and all that
but
stuff.
But we do, and we're admitting it.
I mean,
we're
on an RV trip, we want to go and have fun, and just we can create so many dirty dishes in the course of a day.
Right. And so we don't only use paper products, but we don't have any paper products in our house.
Ever. Not even at birthday parties.
No, sometimes I buy them for birthday parties. But then I really do use them in the camper. So what I like to do is one time a year, and I've been doing this, actually was one of the first things that I stocked up on.
Yeah, you were doing this back in the pop-up camper days.
I did. And I would go and I would get one of the big club-size paper plates, big club-size bowls, one of those big Costco-sized utensils.
Yeah, I like
those. The plastic. I know. And a huge thing of paper towels and napkins. We have one of the dinette seats. If you lift it up, there's a storage underneath.
And it's all there.
That is where
for the season.
Everything can fit
and look,
in there.
And when the boys are not in the RV, you know, and I'm in no rush to get to that point in my life. We won't do that anymore.
Yeah.
I know that we won't do
even
that anymore.
Even when they're old enough to do dishes,
and look,
maybe.
We're,
and they can.
We're keeping it
don't write in and tell me my 6-year-old boys can do dishes.
We're keeping it real on RVFTA. You know, I hate the bloggers out there who are like perfect with everything and they do everything so environmentally friendly.
Yeah, we don't.
We use paper products in the RV.
Yeah. And so we do generate a lot of trash. We do when we're RVing.
Oh my gosh.
And you know what? And let's talk about the other thing that we use that's not eco-friendly in RV that we don't at home. So we know everybody likes to use their reusable shopping bags, right? More and more people are using it, and that's great. But we've all been in the situation where we've gone to the grocery store and forgotten our reusable bags. So you get the store bags.
And now we stock up on them and put them in the RV. And so we don't buy garbage bags for the RV.
Exactly. We use those, all of those plastic bags that you wind up with when you don't have your reusable bags, which we highly recommend. But you know what? This is real life. And you end up with plastic bags. So save them and put them in your RV because you know what? You don't want big garbage bags in your RV.
Not when you're dealing with diapers.
It's nice.
You don't want a garbage bag in there that's going to be there for 2 days.
No. It's nice to be able to use a small garbage bag because you just constantly, you fill it, you get rid of it.
And a good campground is going to be taking the trash every morning.
So, you know what? That's like our balanced eco perspective.
I just had an epiphany.
Oh my gosh.
I just realized another thing I love about RVing is that they come and take the garbage every morning, or else you can go bring the garbage to the dumpster every morning. Our garbage men come once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, we need
luxury.
Yeah.
All
so let's move into the world of toiletries.
Right.
And we do also stock up on toiletries at the beginning of the year. You didn't used to do that.
Nope.
You do that now. Why?
Well, again, it was just like I hated the concept of buying, first of all, little items, little shampoos, little conditioners. It seemed like such a waste of money, the travel size. And it is. They charge so much for those. But then at the same time, to purchase all those things, I'm just not a spender. It's hard for me to go and get a whole shampoo, a whole conditioner when you have that all in the house. So I actually
But it does. It increases the packing time for the trip. I mean, when you're talking about 100 different items we bring.
Especially on the weekend trips.
It's so much of this I really think has to do with our weekend trips.
Yes.
Is it Friday after work, after a long week at work, we are hopping in the RV.
Can you just hop in?
Driving 2 hours to get somewhere to camp, and we can't spend 2 hours packing.
Yeah.
We have to have everything out there, or as much as possible out
there. I went through a couple of different versions of this. At one point, you know, we use an electric toothbrush, and we've been using electric toothbrush for 15 years.
Yeah.
I mean, we're addicted to it. We don't use regular toothbrushes. Well, I was okay, well, I'll just get regular toothbrushes for the camper. And then I was wait a minute. 40, 50 nights a year.
Right.
I want the toothbrush I like.
Right.
Now, I don't want to have a toothbrush. So finally last year, again, this has been staged to me. I was wait a minute. I'm not going to get one of the expensive
You got
electric
sort of
toothbrush.
A cheapo, but
I
it
did.
Works.
I got a Target version of an electric toothbrush. And fine, and it's just I have to say, I
love having that in the RV. Because it's just like that little comfort of home thing.
It's exactly the way we like to do it. That's how we want to brush our teeth. So that should be the way we brush our teeth.
And we're in an RV. We have electric. Yes. We can plug things in and recharge.
So for some things, I do go a little more of the budget route instead of doing the exact same item that we'd have in the house. But I have to say that every morning and night, I'm happy that I have the electric toothbrush, right? And I finally,
well, and
like,
also you don't bump into that situation
it.
Where you show up at the campground and it's 7 o'clock Friday night. Oh, honey, where are the toothbrushes? You were supposed to bring them.
Yeah.
And frankly, we, you know, we used to get into those conversations all the time.
Right.
Now, also, I keep razors and a razor blade out in the RV for the season. So I am a proud member of the Dollar Shave Club.
Are.
Not being paid to say it.
Yeah.
And I get razors every month from the Dollar Shave Club. And I really like their razors. I like their price point. They got a good sense of humor at that company. But I don't use them all, really. So then I started to kind of stock some in the RV. Mm-hmm. And with the Dollar Shave Club, you can buy an extra blade for, I don't know, if it's $4, $5, very reasonable price. So I just bought an extra blade, put it out there, put out some razors, and now I never have to worry about bringing stuff to shave. And I even bought an extra shaving cream from
and
the Dollar Shave
those
Club.
Those are the razors I use too now.
And you know what's so funny? You snuck up on me on that one. I did not even realize you were using my razors. And you'd been using them for months. And then you said something like, oh, yeah, avoid the pink tax. Like,
well,
you use some line from Dollar Shave Club.
Well,
like, you snuck into my little Dollar Shave Club world.
Well, it's true. Why would I get a different razor? They say they have all this advertising that shows men's razors, women's razor. And they show them side by side, and they're the same. Like, that's their point.
But
like,
you pay more.
You pay more, right.
For a women's razor, the pink tax.
The pink tax.
Brilliant. Because aren't they good razors?
They're excellent.
And the Dollar Shave Club has, like, three different tiers. And I confess, I think I do buy the highest tier,
but
like the nicest tier of razor.
Okay. Oh.
Because it's just such a nice shave.
It
I mean,
is.
I actually, for the first time in my life, like shaving. And some people out there are like, oh, you shave on an RV trip? Well, we're 40 to 50 nights in the RV. Okay, yeah, occasionally I do shave in the RV.
You have to shave. You get.
I get scruffy. It's a very manly. It's a very manly beard.
Yeah.
You know, I shave and then I go for a hike in the woods and there's like a full beard there again.
Yeah. So we like. Yeah. So
it's all that fresh air.
We
you know?
We combine those shave. Yeah, those razors, and I like them. And now I'm in the mix too with the Dollar Shave Club.
Yeah, sneaky on their
part. Sure, I'm practical.
Now and by the way, you did a blog post with some of these products within the last maybe
five to six
blog posts.
Yeah, and we'll link to that in the
show
notes.
And that was shared like, what, 30, 40,000 times on Facebook or
no.
something?
I just did like three products. I was thinking about it at the time.
Yeah, so let's move into some of the products that you featured in the blog post. The Shea Moisture. Can you talk to everybody about that one?
I like the Shea Moisture.
I do too.
Baby shampoo and body wash. And everybody's
works
like,
for me,
baby
man.
Baby shampoo. Well, that's the point. That's why I love it so much, is it actually works for everyone. So it comes in a really nice size because it lasts a long time, but it's not huge. It's like good. It's not small. It's not huge.
It's not so big that if it fell when Wesley was taking a bath, it would like clock. Now, I actually think about that.
Yeah.
You know, like if this falls, is it going to whack the kid?
No,
it
fits nicely on the little shelves.
On
right?
those little tiny shelves we have.
And I love the fact that it's multi-purpose. It can do shampoo for their bodies. It can do also a body wash for them.
Right.
I use it as my body wash and my like shave.
Yeah, if you run out of syrup, you can use it for pancakes.
Okay. So I really like it, and I like it doesn't feel like a gender-based scent.
I don't feel it's gender-based at all.
No. You don't feel girly when you use it.
And you don't feel manly when you use my razor blades.
I do not. We're totally comfortable in our own skin.
We are.
Okay. So I like the Shea Moisture
And that
baby
was in your
shampoo.
Blog post. Yeah, and
yes.
I use it for my shampoo. I'll confess. And it works for
that
me.
That is the only like soap body wash we keep in the camper.
And you use it for the boys' baths and everything,
I use
right?
it head to toe
it,
on
it doesn't
the
burn their eyes or
no,
anything?
No. My boys have sensitive skin, so it's perfect.
Now,
for
cleaning supplies, I love what you recommended here, how you grouped the Meyer. Is it Meyers or Myers?
Myers, yeah.
The
Mrs.
Myers Clean Day or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
I love. I never in my life have loved soap or hand soap. But once you started buying Mrs. Myers, like, I love the smell of their stuff.
Yeah, you got attached. And that's fine because
so
I really
fresh
like
and
it.
Clean. It's like a spring day. It's like you wash your hands and it's like sunshine.
Yeah, you really like the lemon verbena, and I've bought other scents.
You've moved to the honeysuckle, right?
Right,
which
now
I like
in the
honeysuckle.
Camper, I have the honeysuckle. So this is what I like, and I said
let
this
me stop.
In the,
let me just linger on the smells. They are strong.
Yes.
They are strong, but they don't smell like chemically.
No, very natural.
They smell really natural and fresh. And we have three boys who smell a lot. There's lots of smells. And
I
Stephanie's
have four
making,
boys that smell.
All right. Well, that's not very nice. But I like the fact that there's a strong, fresh, natural smell to these. Mm-hmm. And don't forget, you buy multiple products.
Right.
All
that's
with the
what
same
I like.
Scent. Talk about that.
Okay. So the RV is a small space and I'm very sensitive to fragrance. And I love the fact that in these products, every single cleaning product that you can think to buy, hand soap, dish soap, counter spray, laundry detergent,
you get the same scent.
You can get the same scent. So I love the fact that you can just do this like monochromatic scent.
I think that's brilliant, mm-hmm. frankly, dear.
I do too.
Because I don't want to smell something different in the bathroom,
no,
in the kitchen.
I hate mixing.
I like that you're getting the same consistent smell
so
throughout the camper.
This season, we're in honeysuckle.
I don't know if honeysuckle. Well, you stocked up.
I did.
I can't switch back to lemon.
I like honeysuckle.
I totally like the honeysuckle too. But the
and
lemon
I also like radish.
Forget the rat. Don't.
I love
radish.
What is that? Oh, it smells so nice. I really like radish. Okay, so here's the thing. They sell a big jug of concentrate for the counter spray. So buy one counter spray, buy the big jug, and then just all season long, you're going to put a little bit of the concentrate into the counter spray, and you're going to have enough counter spray and just all-purpose spray for your bathtub, for your
tub. They're great
for your
products.
You are going to have enough for the entire season, I promise, with one of the concentrates.
Now, and generally, are the price points good on these products?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They're not high-priced organic products.
There is not – yes. It's sold at Target, and so is the Shea Moisture.
Okay.
They are organic.
So
the Shea Moisture are organic.
Priced.
But they are sold at Target. You're going to pay a little more than you're going to pay for Johnson & Johnson or for Clorox, whatever. But it's reasonable.
Now, we also stock up some movies and books for the whole season, mm-hmm. so that on every trip we're not figuring out what movies to bring and figuring out what books to bring. We bring the boys we let them pick
at the beginning.
A big stack of books for the RV season.
One
and,
drawer.
And a, kind of a handful of movies.
Yep, one
now,
shelf.
Why do you like to do that instead of each trip figuring out what movies to bring?
Look,
again, it's a time killer, right? It's
when
a time
they're super
waster.
Little, you're going to bring the movie they're watching over and over again. Right now, Wesley, what is it? Elmo.
Oh, he's on to Curious George.
Now he's on George.
He dumped Elmo.
Dumped Elmo and I once George. Okay.
Holy cow.
So we're going to have to bring George for him. Bottom line. But when they get a little older, they like novelty.
So the surprise of something they haven't watched in a while.
And then all of a sudden it's brand new and it's
everything
fun.
Old is new again.
Yes. So what we do is we do 5 to 7 movies and then there's a drawer of books. And it's the same thing with the books. They're books that they haven't read for a while.
But that they like.
And they're excited to see them. So they pick them at the beginning of the season. They put them out there. And then
so
every time
like
we go camping.
They come like their camper books.
Yes. And it's a different grouping now this year than it was last year.
Yeah, and it also gets some stuff out of the house, which I know you kind of always appreciate to some degree, too.
I always love getting rid of stuff.
Now, the one thing that we're not going to talk about my man bins and man boxes and all the stuff I store in the camper.
Well, you just keep that stuff all
there. But in terms of replenishables, I like to stock up on the Thetford EcoSmart toss-ins for the toilet chemical. And I buy about 3 bags of those. And I buy the odor-free because you don't
– I
that,
do not.
That is a strong
chemical
odor.
I do. I have a
chemical
smell issue.
But their odor-free is not – it's not totally odor-free, but it's fairly odor-free. Mm-hmm. And I like to get the little pouches because less worry of the chemical spilling or getting around the boys because it's in the protective pouches. I buy about 3 bags of those. I think there's 12 toss bags in each one, and that lasts me the whole season.
Okay,
so I spend about $30 on the chemical for the RV
toilet. And then you're done,
RV
and
toilet.
You know what's in there, and you don't have to worry
about
it.
Yeah, and I keep it tucked away where the boys can't get it. They don't even know where it is. I keep it in a storage bin, and I'm good to go for the season. Because, again, like I don't want to have to run to Camping World just to buy a $10 pouch of chemical for the toilet in the middle of the summer. So I like to do that in one trip as well. Now, what are some things you don't – I mean, to kind of wrap up here, what are some things that you don't stock that a lot of other people do?
So some people stock the pantry.
Yeah, we empty that thing out every time.
We empty out our pantry every single time. And I mean olive oil, like things that you would think would just keep in there. We empty it every time. We hear too many stories about people with critters in there.
It also gets so hot in the RV.
The temperature variant in the RV.
We don't leave any food. And in fact, you know, like I I've said on the show before, I'm not the cleanest guy in the house, but I keep the RV really clean. Mm-hmm. I vacuum.
You do, after every trip.
Every trip, I vacuum out all the areas where we've had food because mm-hmm. I don't want mice in the RV.
Right.
And I don't want just food going bad and smelling.
Yeah. So that is not something that I stock up. I don't put sugar, flour, all that stuff that I use. I actually carry that out every single trip that we do. No big deal. I do a bin, carry it out to the car.
Exactly.
Okay.
We load up the food in bins and we carry it back in bins.
Yeah. Something that's on the table. Linens and towels.
Yeah. So do you stock up or do you not stock up?
Right. And I'm thinking we do not right now. And I'm leaning in the direction of finally saying I'm going to pull towels that are RV towels. I'm going to pull sheets. Now, I always thought, I don't want to wash the sheets, put them out in the RV, and then like 3 weeks later, sleep on them.
Sheets. Yeah.
Like I was just like, it didn't seem like fresh.
Well, also when you're RVing, you're out, you're active, you're getting a little bit dirty, there can be sand in the sheets, whatever.
You know, I felt like, oh, I don't think that that's the right fit for me. I'm getting to the point now where I might say, you know what? I'm going to get a system. We're going to bring in the laundry. We're going to do it. We're going to fold it up and bring it right back out. Not put it on the beds to get sort of like feeling stale and funky. But if I fold it up and put it away in the cabinet above the bed, it would stay sort of fresh, I feel like. So I actually think I might move in the direction. That's on the table. I haven't done it. I think I'm about to make a set of camper sheets and a set of camper towels. I'll let you know.
All right. So listen, that is our feature topic for the night, RV season stock up. I wanted to call it Stock in My RV.
Just one more time. Get it in.
So listen, we'll be back in a second. Don't go anywhere because we're going to introduce Brett Nielsen again or reintroduce Brett Nielsen.
Right.
And this is one of my favorite segments we've ever done on this show. Okay. He's got some really, really great stuff for us. So join us in a second. So back on episode 20 of RVFTA, we had our first guest correspondent, Brett Nielsen. We loved having him on the show. He did a really awesome review of Devil's Garden Campground in Arches National Park, which made me want to like quit my job and drive out to Utah. So we've been wanting to have him back for quite some time. So we're thrilled to have him back tonight. And he's going to do two things for us tonight. I mean, first, he's going to talk about some really cool work that he does, some really awesome and important volunteer work he does out on the salt flats in Utah, really interesting use of his RV. And then he's going to give us a review of a great state campground in Utah as well. So we'll be back in a second with Brett, and we are going to give Brett his own intro music tonight.
Why not?
His own theme music.
This is his second appearance.
Corn Liquor is kind of like this bluegrassy thing. We're going to try and find something a little more like West Coast for Brett. And one of two things is going
to
happen. Okay, Brett's going to love this and want to be back on the show right away, or he's never going to speak to us again.
Oh, no, you have to
see. We'll have to say. So hang on. We'll be back with Brett Nielsen. So we are lucky to have Brett Nielsen back on the show, our guest correspondent from Utah. And Brett's going to have another great campground review for us from a Utah state park, I believe. And he'll get into that in a second. But first, we want to talk about some of his other adventures that he's been having in his RV. So
welcome, Brett.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me back.
It's great to have you back.
We love our Western correspondent.
Yeah, get a little West Coast flavor in the East Coast podcast.
We need it. You
toughen us up a little. You know, we're soft with all of our private campgrounds and our amenities.
Right,
so,
yeah.
So what have you been up to out in the salt flats of Utah? And tell us what the salt flats are. You've been up to some kind of pretty cool adventures.
Yeah. So one of the other hats I wear besides just camping is I'm an amateur radio operator. And for those that might not be familiar with it, amateur radio is a licensed radio service. So you could compare it roughly to Citizen Band or CB radios that most people would be familiar with. But you actually have to go through a licensing process to get the license, and then you get access to a bunch of different frequencies and can talk to people. There's different types of amateur radio. There's some that do worldwide communication. You've maybe seen those people with big antennas at their house that or have a big tall tower with an antenna on it. But they go all the way down to little handheld devices that would be comparable to like what police or fire would use. That's more of the area that I tend to play in, more of the local communication versus the worldwide.
And so is that a state license or a national license? How does that work?
It's national. It's governed by the Federal Communications Commission, and so it is a federal license that's good anywhere within the United States. And other countries have very similar programs, and most of them you can use your license in their areas as long as you obey by their rules. Some of them require you to get different permits and that kind of thing, but if you're traveling out of the country. But it's good anywhere in the U.S., and it really provides a level of communication that's kind of one step above like an FRS type radio that you might buy at Walmart or Target or something like that that you would use with your kids, which we use within our family as well, just to communicate when we're out camping.
So what do you do with this license that you yeah. have, this very special license?
And how does the RVing intersect?
Yeah, so one of the things that I really enjoy doing, amateur radio has got a bunch of different facets as far as the hobby goes, and you can get involved in lots of different things. The thing that I really enjoy doing is public service events, and so on any given weekend in any given metropolitan area, there's runs, walks, parades. There's all kinds of different things going on. There's marathons and triathlons, and most of those need some level of volunteers to help with them, whether it's just people out handing out snacks to the runners or, keeping track of things or registering people. One of the groupings of volunteers a lot of them have are communications volunteers, and that's where amateur radio comes in. So we go out and help these different public service events on the weekends and help them make sure that they're having a logistical nature of coordination in the event. So the one that you were referring to out on the Salt Flats, it's a 100-mile endurance run. They call these ultra marathons. And first off, the people that run these things are crazy.
Really?
Yeah, it's 100 miles. I have a hard time getting around the block, let alone, a 100-mile course.
And they run the entire 100 miles?
Yeah.
Make it?
They do. They all make it. They're crazy.
In your blog post, I think you actually mentioned the time that it took for someone to finish or for the first person to finish.
Yeah, it's like 19 hours for 100 miles. So that's just craziness. They start early in the morning. In this case, they start on a Friday early morning, and they run all day Friday. They run through the night and into Saturday afternoon. So they don't stop. It's not like a relay race where they're handing off to somebody else. It's the same person that starts is the same person that finishes. So in this specific event, it's over 100 miles. It's out on the Salt Flats, which is in the middle of nowhere. Cell phones are sketchy out there at best for most of the course. And so our job as amateur radio operators, we're stationed at each of the checkpoints, and we keep track of the people in and out of every aid station. So as all the runners come in, we note what time they went in and what time they went out, and we relay all that back to our central control point, which we call net control. And so we have a good track of where all the runners are. We know if they have or haven't made it to an aid station. And that's how we know when an aid station can close down and all the runners have gone through there, or if we're, unfortunately missing somebody and need to go out and try and find them.
Wow.
And so
this is really, really important work you're doing, because this just comes down to safety and keeping people safe in a race like this.
It is. Yeah. And as amateur radio operators, we can't take, because it's a federal license, we can't take compensation for doing it. So most of us are involved in some type of emergency communication and do this more as a training aspect, because it is like a disaster type situation. You've got people running all over the place and you're trying to keep track of them. And, so you can relate this to some type of disaster scenario where you would be keeping track of people in a Red Cross shelter or something like that and having to relay messages back and forth. In this case, over 100 miles with everything that we have to bring. We basically have to bring all of our stuff to do the communications over that.
And how many checkpoints are there roughly?
Let's see. I think there were 9 9 okay. on this event. So there, you know, there's quite a few, but still you're running a good chunk of space before you hit a different, you know, an aid station. And you're out in an area that it's not marked very well. There's lots of restrictions out in the salt flats because it is this crusty salt that used to be a lake bed, and the Bureau of Land Management does protect that area. So it's very limited where people can go out there and where they can camp. They have to get special permits for the aid stations. And so I took my trailer out. I was at the net control station, the main point. And so I used my trailer as a bed for myself. So we took one trailer out there that was owned by the city that I live in, and that's what we worked out of. But then when my shift ended at 10 p.m. on Friday night, I needed somewhere to sleep because my shift started again at 6 in the morning the next day. And it was really nice to be able to walk out the door of the one trailer and walk over to my trailer and get in my own bed. And
that is so, that is so cool. I mean, that just yeah. sounds like so much fun to me and for such a good cause. Where does everybody else sleep?
Well, some of the aid stations, they also haul trailers out to them. We had several of our guys have their own trailers, and they haul them out to their aid stations and do basically the exact same thing. So that was one of the reasons why I bought a trailer in the first place, is these type of events, I would find myself getting stuck out there at 10 o'clock at night. And, you know, if you hadn't planned ahead and got a hotel room, or some of these places, there aren't exactly hotel rooms around, you're sleeping in your car, and that's not always a comfortable situation. So, in fact, I had one of the other operators come up to me after the event, and he said, "So about this trailer thing," and because he kind of saw the advantage of it. You know, I had my own kitchen, my own food. I wasn't eating out of a backpack. I you know, could prepare cold cuts and sandwiches right. and, you know, had drinks and all kinds of stuff. And it worked out really, really well for this, just having that right next to where I was. So
what a great adventure. What's it like driving out there and towing the trailer out on the flats? Is it relatively safe driving terrain?
Yeah, so for me, I was fortunate enough that I get a nice freeway all the way out there, and it's paved every bit of the way to where I was. The guys that went out on the course, they go out on a dirt road past that point. For the most part, they try to keep vehicles off of the actual salt because they're trying to protect it in its natural state. Most of the time in the salt area, it does get a little wet and kind of soggy. And so a vehicle in it can actually sink down like mud and actually get stuck down in the salt, and they've got to come tow you back out. So it's really best to stay on the actual dirt road paths out there. But some people will go out there, especially with like four-wheelers or something like that, and go tool around a little bit. But towing a trailer or something out actually on the salt would be questionable, I think.
Well, what a cool adventure, and I think it just reminds all of us that there are a lot of other uses for an RV purchase, depending on how adventurous you want to be. It doesn't just have to be the family vacation, right? I mean,
yeah, that's true. There's a lot of uses.
Stephanie and I are recording YouTube videos yeah. out there. You know, it's almost become, it's in a way, it's becoming an office for
yeah,
us to some degree.
Yeah, and our friends at In Town Campground, they use their office. They have an Airstream
for an yep. office. Mm-hmm. So let's shift gears from the salt flats.
Which I could kind of talk about all day.
I know. I mean, I'm so interested. And are you doing it again soon? Do you have like another one scheduled?
Yeah, so there's three main events that I support throughout the year. The Salt Flats is a 100-mile endurance run. Then I support the Bike MS ride, which is up in Logan, which is the north end of our state. It's also a multi-day event, and I usually end up staying in a hotel there, but I've thought last year I might take my trailer, but I might really take my trailer this year, just because it's a lot easier to deal with. Mm-hmm. The other one is the Wasatch 100, which is another 100-mile endurance run. That one's even more ridiculous than the Salt Flats one. I do take my trailer for that. There's several of us that we kind of make a little horseshoe of trailers and have a little campfire, and then we break off and go do our shifts that we need to do for work, and, you know, come back into the trailers and just hang out with each other while we're not working.
All right. I don't know if the people in Utah are just a little kookier with all
these
100-mile
endurance runs. Yeah, we don't do this stuff here.
I mean, look, a marathon, you know, rock on. But yeah. This feels kooky to me. I don't know. I just need to meet these people that are doing 100 miles. All right. We're probably going to get emails from listeners that do 100 miles.
Yeah, I'm frankly impressed and jealous.
It's pretty amazing accomplishment.
Yeah, awesome. So let's switch to your campground review. So tell us what campground you're reviewing, where it's located geographically, and why you like it.
Yeah, so the one I came up with for tonight was the Wasatch Mountain State Park. It's located in the Heber Valley, which most people would maybe note. It's close to Park City, Utah. Okay. So it's kind of right on the gateway up into the Uintas, which is a really, really nice kind of backcountry area. And it just happens to be the first campground that we went to with our RV when we got it. And we've kind of fallen in love with the area and the campground and find ourselves frequently visiting it throughout the year. So
what kind of drive is it for you to get there?
It's about an hour for us to get there. So it's still really considered quite close in, you know, in the grand scheme of things.
Yes, we do consider that quite
close. We consider that quite close.
It's 55 miles from the house to get there. So it takes roughly an hour with the canyon and stuff to get up to the location.
All right. So tell us a little bit more about the campground.
Tell us about the campground and what you like about it.
Yeah, so the thing that we like the most about it is it's pretty remote. The campground itself, Wasatch Mountain State Park, is a really large state park. It's about 21,000 acres. It was established back in 1961, and they've built several different campgrounds on there. What we consider Wasatch Mountain State Park is actually made up of three different loops of campgrounds, and the one that we like the most is called Mahogany, and there's 53 sites in Mahogany. The reason we like it the most is it's got a lot more scrub oak and trees than the other two, which are Cottonwood and Oak Hollow. They're all three are very good, but we prefer the Mahogany side just because it's kind of tucked back up in the trees, and you get a little bit of more privacy between the sites with that. But the real jewel of this area is where it's located. You're tucked back up in this little canyon, but then you're right outside of the campground is the Midway and Heber area, and that's just a really fun small town kind of area. They've got lots of different festivals and different events all throughout the year. One that we like to go up to is called the Soldier Hollow Classic, which is a big sheepdog festival. So they have all the sheepdogs up on the hill, and they've got the sheep down at the bottom, and they've got the collar down there, and they whistle, and the dog comes running down the hill and herds all the sheep, and it's a lot of fun to watch. And of course, they do all the other dog things there where they're jumping and diving and that kind of stuff.
That sounds like a complete hootenanny to me.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun. The kids love it. They love going and seeing the dogs, and the dogs are crazy. And the best part is once they get done with their little run, they jump over and get in this big bucket of water and cool off. So it's fun.
And then they go on a 100-mile run.
Exactly. Then they go on a 100-mile.
You know, it sounds like Stephanie and I are always trying to point out things that the whole family can enjoy together as opposed to kids' activities and adult activities. That sounds like something that's kind of good for everyone in the family. That's
another one, yeah. And another fun one up there is the Heber Valley Railroad. When I was growing up, it was called the Heber Creeper. It's an old steam engine, or at that time it was. They've done away with the steam engine. It's a different type of engine at this point. But it's a train ride that takes you through the valley and goes back by some really large lakes. And you can take it any time of year. And it does these nice scenic rides, and they do the whole thing where robbers come up and they rob the train, and right. There's a shootout and that kind of thing. But at different times a year, they do specialized events. So in the winter, they do the Polar Express. So it's a Polar Express theme where you get on with the elves and you go to Santa's village, and Santa gets on the train. And in the summer, they'll do a Thomas the Train, and they'll paint the train blue and it looks like Thomas, and they'll take you back up in the mountains. And it's a real fun thing for adults and kids alike. And so that's another fun thing that's just right there in the valley that's fun to go to, that you have really close access to from this campground.
Now, is the campground, are there any hookups at the campground? Is it all dry camping?
Yeah, so this is one of our luxury sites. So in Mahogany is all full hookups. So you've got electric, water, sewer at all the sites. Yeah, we go all out. It was our first one, so we had to have full hookups because we didn't know what we were doing. So
it's just that one loop out of the three that has the full hookups? And do you remember roughly like what the price is of the campground?
Yeah, so it's $25 a night for the full hookups and $20 for the partial, which just don't have sewer, but they have a dump station on site. So you still get electric and water for that. So
all right, we even do that, Brett, all the time.
what a great a great price for that.
Well, and I like the way that you're saying you feel like you're tucked away, and yet at the same time you're right near a lot of activities and fun stuff to do. So and that's always a mix that I really enjoy. So
yeah, what's the best time of year to maybe go to this part of Utah? Is there one time that's nicer than another?
Yeah, so this is one of our few state parks that I've found that's open year-round. So you can camp all through the winter here, all through the summer. Where it is up in the mountains, the temperatures do cool off. So even in the middle of summer, it's still relatively cool, especially with the trees and everything that you have there. We've been there all throughout the seasons, all, you know, on the shoulder seasons and right in the middle of summer, and we really haven't had a bad time there. So I wouldn't say there's one better than the other, and if we get really encouraged to do some winter camping, this is probably where we'll go.
Now, you're headed out there next weekend, right?
Yep, exactly. So we head out on Saturday, probably when this podcast is posted online. We'll be up enjoying the fresh air at Wasatch Mountain State Park.
Okay. So. All right. Yep.
And how about making reservations there? How does that work?
Yeah, it's all of the federal and state parks here in Utah are all governed through the Reserve America site. So we go on and reserve there. There's a few spots that reserve really early because they're a little bit larger. They have a little bit better view. But generally speaking, there's always sites available. There's a lot of sites there.
In your Mahogany Loop, it's pretty easy to get into.
Yes, especially so the Mahogany Loop. If you're on the dreaded west side of the Mahogany Loop, where there's less trees, you can definitely get a site over there. If you're on the plush east side of the Mahogany Loop, where the trees are, then they go a little bit faster. But you can even, I haven't looked recently, but you could probably even get stuff for this weekend coming up. So
awesome. Now, Brett, I have to tell you, I think that our ultimate bucket list, if you had asked us maybe 6 months ago, was probably Glacier National Park and Yellowstone. Now, after your two guest spots here on RVFDA, Utah has officially moved into the number one spot on my bucket list. Stephanie, would you agree?
Well, it was already very close
because we
drove through Utah and we were years ago. And we couldn't even believe the stunning beauty. So this is just kind of like, I think this is kind of making it more concrete to us, like what exactly going to Utah is all about.
Also, just that if we're going to drive out to Utah, I don't want to explore another state. I want to spend several weeks to a month in Utah.
Yeah, course you do, dear.
I do. Brett, have you seen that new commercial that's out for Utah, for all the national parks and state parks? It's on YouTube somewhere. We'll put a link up to it.
I haven't seen it.
Well, you live there.
They don't tend to play those things in our market here because they figure we've already done it. So
they play it in our market.
Yeah,
and I tell you, Utah, an awesome commercial for the state and federal parks there. So we read in a recent blog post of yours, maybe a couple months ago actually, that the family might be shopping for a new RV, or at least you're in the early sort of flirtation stages,
which we all know is Jeremy's favorite topic.
The RV shopping stage is like a permanent stage here.
Right.
But tell us again what you have and what you're thinking you might want to have.
Yeah, sure. We've got the Jayco 184BH. And so it's a 20-foot trailer. It's a convertible dinette up in the front with a double bunk in the back. And so, and as a reminder, our family's the three of us. So it's me, my wife, and my daughter. And it actually works really well for us. We use one of the bunks as storage. The other bunk is my daughter. She's got it all set up the way that she wants it. And then we just convert the dinette each night when we go to bed. We started, as everybody does, you kind of get into this, and I got a little bit of the trailer fever kind of geek out on this a little bit and start looking at floor plans and seeing what's out there and kind of watching. And so I kind of had some ideas that maybe we might want something a little bit different. And as I started talking to my wife a little bit, you know, we both agreed one of the biggest complaints that we have on ours is having to convert the dinette every night.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are like, well, just leave it as a bed. Well, the problem with that is the way it's set up, you can't put nice linens on it because it's not a bed. It's cushions that are kind of laid down. And so you can't really make it into a bed. And it's right as you walk in our door.
Right.
So it ends up collecting all kinds of stuff throughout the day if you leave it up as a bed. And so we said, what would it look like if we bought a trailer with a dedicated bed, but also had the bunks for our daughter, And possibly, you know, an extra bunk if she wanted to bring a friend or something like that.
It would look like a White Hawk.
Yeah, you know what? And I looked up your guys' model and kind of looked and said, you know what? This is kind of where we're thinking. And so it's we're looking at really kind of that standard floor plan that, right. you know, tons of manufacturers have, but you've got the bed in the front, you got the bunks in the bathroom in the back, you got a dinette and a couch that are in a slide out opposite side of the kitchen. Yeah. Okay. Right, and it's kind of that standard floor plan, and that's kind of where we're thinking. All right.
And you know that double bunk over double bunk in the back, I tend to really like. I think that kids would like that extra space, and it's also good if you're using one of the bunks for storage. So the more that I've looked at those double
and
over double
kids could sleep on
in the back, I think that they'd work well for a lot of families. So.
Now this sounds like this might require a new tow vehicle.
Yes, I drive a Nissan Xterra right now, and it's about maxed out in my opinion, with the 184 BH that we've got today. I could probably go a little bit more, but with some of the canyons that we have here, it just doesn't make sense to push those numbers. You know, you want a nice headroom in it. So that's one of the factors. If we go down the path of a new trailer, we do have to get a new tow vehicle. And so that obviously makes that a whole big animal to purchase. We're looking. We're starting to think about it.
It gets complicated, Brett. It just gets complicated.
If you could see the grin on Jeremy's face right now, he loves the idea of a new tow vehicle, new trailer. Exciting to you.
You could waste away a lot of winter hours RV shopping, that's for sure. Well, listen, Brett, thank you so much for coming back on the show. We really appreciate your time. And I loved talking about that state park and about your adventures out on the Salt Flats. And we really look forward to having you back on soon.
Yeah, we can't wait to talk to you again.
Let's do it again.
You can find Brett's blog at brettnielsen.com, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's correct.
And then also, we follow him on Instagram.
Yeah, where are you on Instagram again for everybody listening?
It's Instagrablin. So, just like Instagram, except with a BLN at the end.
Oh, gotcha.
And you had a couple pictures of the Salt Flats out there, which were very cool. So.
And if you want to find Brett and you're not sure on Instagram, if you look on our feed, we've regrammed to some of his stuff. So you could probably scroll down through our feed and find one of the regrams to track him down. But you put up fun pictures on your Instagram. So.
Yeah, and we'll get a lot more active with that as we get into the season. Obviously, over the winter, it's been a little slow. But now that we're getting into the camping season, we'll start to get a lot more stuff up there. So
sounds great, Brett. Thank you so much for coming on.
All right, we'll talk soon, Brett. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much for joining us for episode 33 of RV FTA. RV season stock up. Thanks so much to Brett Nielsen for that really great segment. And you can find his writing at brettnielsen.com. And please consider joining us at our first ever RV FTA rally at Lake in Wood in Narbonne, PA, the last weekend in May. Yep. We have about 15 to 20 families coming right now, and we are starting to gather free swag to give away. And there's going to be contests.
Absolutely.
There's going to be a cornhole contest. I'm thinking a
paddle boat contest.
I want to have a paddle boat contest. We're going to have some really cool prizes.
Yeah.
We're going to share some good food, some good campfires. So please consider joining us that weekend. And if you have any questions, just private message us on Facebook. Shoot us an email. Thank you again for joining us.
All right.
Appreciate every single one of our listeners.
See you at the campground.
Take care.